Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 14, verses 25 to 27. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not fear father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. I'd like to introduce our speaker to you. It's my privilege to introduce to you Pastor Andy. Pastor Andy is a high-energy relational person that challenges individuals around him to focus and pay attention to what matters most in life. Andy believes that intimate relational connection begins with Jesus, and if you start there, everything else will flow. Andy currently serves at Union Gospel Mission. He provides care to the children and teenagers in the downtown East Side. When Andy is not serving, Andy can be found exploring adventures with his wife, Jen, and their little two-year-old. So thank you for coming to speak to us. Pastor Andy, please come forward.
I didn't realize the walk was so far from my pew. Well, thank you for having me. It's so great to be able to worship with you from the beginning, ever since our worship leader was leading us into music. I almost was like, it's such a joyful morning with all the three songs of worship. And then when I go preach, I'm going to change the whole mood with this piece of passage, which I've been praying for pretty much for Vancouver for a while now. And today I'm going to give you a caveat before I even start preaching. Thank you for that great introduction. I'm a very high energy, passionate person, and that's why I love to work with kids and youth. I wouldn't trade that away. They're just so amazing. And even when I preach, most of the time in my previous church ministry, I had to ask them to get me one of these mics that hooks on, because I walk around and I jump around when I preach. So bear with me, since I'm going to have to stay within this zone today. But I'm super energetic about this piece of passage. And this passage is very dense. It's very hard. I almost wanted to title today's sermon as "The Hard Sayings of Jesus," because this is one of the hardest things for us to hear from Jesus' words. Most of the time we think of Jesus as a guy who's like, oh yeah, he's so kind and compassionate, but I'm weird. I pay attention to when he offends people, when he says things just in the wrong moment and the wrong time. This is one of those times where he's like, if you don't hate your own mom and dad, you're not worthy. It wasn't even like, okay, yeah, you can come. No, it was like, if you don't hate them, you can't be my disciple. That's what he was saying. So think of it in the first century context, when he went up to his disciples and said, hey, come and follow me. And then afterwards, once you start following him, you gave up your dreams, fishermen, and all these other disciples, they gave up their careers, what they could have earned for themselves. No, now goes into the pool of this Jesus follower thing. And then now he goes, but if you don't hate your mom and dad, you can't follow me. Man, imagine if churches these days laid this down as the baptism rule. You don't hate your mom and dad, you can't get baptized. Like, imagine like that. I know this is not an easy thing for us to swallow. It's certainly not an easy thing for me to preach. But I've been thinking about this for a while now. I haven't officially been a pastor for close to 8 months now. I stepped down from my previous ministry ever since August. And then earlier I was talking to Pastor Norman. I've been guest preaching at various places, just getting the sense of what Vancouver is like from the Christian community within the church and the community outside of the church. And I purposely selected this piece of scripture to share with you this morning. It's because out of my 8 months of reflection, this is what I worry about the most. Vancouver, wealthy, extremely wealthy city. Vancouver is a city where saturates us. We almost become climatized to our whole culture, where we'll say, and this is your quote, "I love coffee. I love going to the basketball game." I mean, not basketball game, hockey game. Well, not right now, because apparently Vancouver Canucks are really bad right now. But we'll use different sort of, "I love this, I love that, I love that TV show. Did you binge watch that Netflix show? It was so good, I love it." Well, in comparison, in our passage today, Jesus goes, "Hey, if you want to be my follower, you must hate your own father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even more than your life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple." Now, this is really interesting, because I want to imagine with you, if you were in the crowd in the first century, you've got Jesus performing miracles. You've heard about this Jesus guy who's a rabbi. Everybody started following him because he started healing people all over the place. He started doing miracles. He started getting people who couldn't stand their entire lives to stand up. And back then, they didn't have social media. They can't tweet and go, "Oh my goodness, there's a guy that just made someone stand up." They can't do that. The only way to pass on what they saw with their eyes was through the word of mouth. So everywhere they went, whether it was during dinner, lunch, everybody they see, they would go, "Hey, Chris, did you see? That guy that was like at the temple, he got up. We know that guy. He was there for 39 years. We know that he can't move. But he's not there. What the heck?" My wife often goes, "Can you stop using 'what the heck' in your sermons?" I'm like, "I know, but I don't know how else to phrase that. I can't shoot up an emoji up there." Well, I can, but I didn't. But what's going on? So imagine, so that's why we've got a large crowd that's surrounding Jesus and his followers. I mean, this is the time when you got tons of people. Preachers know this. When you got tons of people, this is the moment. You preach. You tell them about the kingdom of God. You don't go, "Hey, if you want to follow me, hate your mom and dad. Hate your brothers and sisters. Hate the people that you love. Then come follow me." No, you don't do that, Jesus. That's not how you get books. That's not how you get people signed. That's not how you get followers. That's not how you get crowds and crowds to follow you. But Jesus wasn't into that. He was more so concerned about what they love. Jesus knew. He knew what people in the first century love. There was a saying in the first century, and most of us don't know this, but it was called food for the pleasure. Whatever you see, whatever you want to taste, go for it. That's why in the majority of New Testament, Paul's letters were written to the church, counterculture writing to the first century church, "Hey, you can't do this. You can't get drunk on wine. Don't just go and have sex whenever you want, because it's not good for you. Don't buy into the culture of pleasure, of food, of just feeding your eyes with lust, with temptation, with all of that junk, because you are different. Culturally, Jesus knew what first century people loved. There were a lot of things that they loved. You know what one of the hardest part about not pastoring for the past 8 months? One of the hardest thing was realizing this. Christians love many, many, many things more than Jesus. That's a hard thing for me to realize. And this morning, I'm going to say a lot of things that might not make you feel good. It might not even make you sound, doesn't sound good. But for the past 8 months, this is what I worry about. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus also has another phrase where he goes, you know that not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven, because I never knew you. For the past 8 months, I wasn't really concerned about people outside of the church. Because yeah, they don't know Christ. Of course you're going to behave in radical, crazy, wild ways. My concern is one day, many of us that sit in seats and pews like this, they're going to go up to heaven, they're going to see Jesus, and Jesus is going to go, I don't know you. Man, but by that time, it'll be way too late. I can't be there. Norma, Pastor Norman can't be there. Your parents can't be there. Your sibling is not going to be there standing beside you. Your wife is not going to be there with you and defend you with Jesus. When Jesus is going to speak to you, look you in the eye and go, I never knew you. Because during the whole time in your life, you were living for yourself. I've asked you over and over again to take up that cross. And yet you said it's too hard. It's too hard. I love too many things in this world. During that time, that's what I worry about. That's my main concern for you. Not that I don't care that there are a lot of issues in our lives, marriages being one of the big issues. That's why I actually left pastoral ministry after serving for 14 years to go pursue higher education so that I can learn how to help counsel people in their marriages and families. I care deeply about that. But more than families and marriages, I care that one day when you stand in front of Jesus, when you got nobody around you anymore, you're going to have to look at him face to face. He's going to look you right in the eye and ask you, what did you do with your life? Do you love me more than all these? I don't want you to have to stand there and be like, I don't know. That's why I want to preach to you with this peace. The opposite of looking at hatred. Jesus is asking, do you love me? But more than that, because Jesus asked Peter in Matthew chapter 16, when he talked about building the church, the Lord of Christ, do you love me? Now, love is a very interesting thing because, like I said earlier, our culture throws out love as if it's nothing. That word gets watered down. We don't really understand it anymore. Earlier, as part of the introduction, said that I recently became a dad. My wife and I, we adopted a little girl from Taiwan. She's beautiful. She's so cute. Every time I see her, I'm like, man, who made you? You're like so adorable. Man, and there are times when I'm supposed to be mad, but she's doing like all these silly things, but I'm like, I can't get mad at you. I just want to hold you and just let you know how much I love you. I love her. And until we brought her home with us, which for our first time meeting her in Taiwan for the first couple of days, it was kind of awkward for everybody. But until we brought her home, she came back to Canada, started settling now. For a while, she didn't want to call mom and dad, papa and mama. She didn't. She was very reserved. She was really very shy. She grew up in an orphanage for the first 2 years. But I remember one night while I was praying for her, my wife texted me, and we had to text because we can't really talk when she was in our room, in her little crib, she was sleeping. And my wife texted me this quote where it says, for this little toddler, whatever we do, whatever we say, she's going to interpret it as love. So if you hug her, she's going to think of that as love. If you yell at her, she's going to think of that as love. Her formation, she doesn't understand what love means. Do you actually understand what love means? I love the three songs that we just sang. Because more often than not, preachers like myself, we talk about how much God loves you. And God does. That's why he's so gracious and kind to us. Man, if you want to know how screwed up I am, talk to my wife. Talk to my wife. But yet God still loves me, and I'm just so amazed about that. But this morning, I want to talk to you about how much do you love Christ? That's the first question we want to ask. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love him more than these? More often than not, being a guest preacher, I love doing this because after I preach, sorry for Pastor Norman, he has to deal with all the stuff that guest preacher preaches. But let's think about this. Think about the scene of the rich young ruler. We all know that story. If you grew up in the church, that story's more than famous, where there's this rich guy who goes to Jesus, super young, rich guy. He's like, hey, how do I get to kingdom of heaven? And then Jesus says this, follow commandments. He's like, I've done it. I've done all the commandments. And Jesus goes, well, sell your possession, give it to the poor, then come back and follow me. And then scripture tells us he left, never came back. Why? There was this line that says, because he was very wealthy. He couldn't give it up. He loved money more than he loved Jesus. And then I think about this for us. Earlier I said Vancouver's very wealthy, very extremely wealthy. Let's just play around for a bit. What would happen if you sold everything that you own? Like, maybe some of us, we don't have houses yet. That's okay. Think about that. What would happen if you sold every single thing you own, except for the clothes that you're wearing right now? That's fine. But imagine if you went home today, you sold everything that you have and own. Come up with an estimated figure. Some of us, you have a house in Vancouver, so that's a couple million right there. And I'm not going to make you say it out loud of, haha, this is my figure. No, but I just want you to imagine what would happen if you sold everything that you own, actually follow what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. give it to the poor. What would happen, first of all, to your neighbor? What would your family say? You know, I've discussed this with my family, so I can give you an example. My house right now, we have a little townhouse in Richmond, is worth about $800,000. Including all the cars, including everything, my wife and I calculated, it probably sits around 1.something million, which is not a big deal when you come to think about it. In Vancouver, 1.something million, you can't even buy a townhouse or a duplex in Vancouver. But imagine what people around you would do and say. Imagine my mom, for being an example, she loves Jesus, but first thing she would ask is, where are you going to live? What would you do? Rent is so expensive. And I was like, no, but let's think about it in the context of what Jesus said. We sell everything, give it to the poor. How much ripple effect would it cause? What would your friends say? What are you crazy? Are you crazy? Why would you do that? Because Jesus told me. What? He didn't say that to you. Well, it's in scripture. Yeah, but he never asked you to sell your stuff. And here's where I think it gets very uncomfortable, yet very funny. You and I as Christians, we think of the Jesus says like, hey, if you're tired, come to me. Come to me if you're tired. Yes, that passage, bring it for Andy. It's a great passage. But selling all my possession? No, Jesus was just specifically talking to that poor guy. I mean, that rich young ruler. Jesus wasn't talking to me or hate your father and mother. No, Jesus wasn't talking to us. He was specifically talking to first century context. Those people, those disciples should hate their father and mother in comparison to how much they love Jesus. The good stuff, yeah, bring it to me. But the hard sayings of Jesus, the sayings of Jesus where he goes, pick up your cross, then come follow me. Man, this is just for fun. But how many of you have picked up a cross recently? Like, I'm talking about like a big, massive wooden cross. Don't be shy, put up your hand. None of us! That's how I know. None of us. And yeah, we can be like, no, Jesus didn't ask us to literally pick up the cross. Yeah, I know. I know. But in my last previous ministry placement, I remember we had a wooden cross that I would bring out every single week. And our team for a while, they were like, Andy, why don't you just hang that up? I was like, I don't want to. I want to bring it out every single week, place it in the back. It's not for you guys to remember. It's for me to remember that my life, that God has called all of us to pick up our cross. If I don't touch it, if I don't physically move it every Sunday, if I don't pick it up and actually feel the weight, if I don't get splinters in my hand, I'm scared that I'm going to forget that Jesus has called me to pick up my cross every single day. That's why every week I pick up that cross, I move it to the center. So we would always remember. I would always remember. Jesus calling for us to pick up our cross and be his disciples. I'm about to wrap up. And I know that I didn't really unpack any Greek words this morning. But I'm praying. I've been praying for you that God would speak to you. I'm praying that God would move mountains to speak to you. Because one of the hardest things of being a pastor in Vancouver is reading the Word of God
looking internally into my life and looking externally at the church. And more than ever, my heart is broken because we love everything else so much more than we love Christ. And I know it's hard. I know being in this wealthy city is hard. But Jesus' own words, if you don't love him more than these things, including your father, your mother, your brothers and sisters, your sibling, your job, your career, your dreams and your goals, your houses, your cars, your possession, you're not worthy to be my disciple. It wasn't even like the other way around where it was like he softened and cushioned it. No, he said, you're not worthy, which means you don't make the cut. Those are hard words. They're not soft, a little thing for my little toddler to be able to chew on. They're not. They're harsh words. Jesus is saying, you're not worthy. You're not going to be playing in the game if this was a basketball game. You're going to get benched. Why? Because you haven't been practicing. You've been following. You go with the team. You get to tour with the team. But you don't practice what I preach. You don't make disciples. And you and I wonder why the church in North America and Vancouver is dying. I'm sorry to say, but it's because of us. Because we don't love Jesus Christ more than these. That's why. That's why my neighbor sees me, or a stranger sees me, or somebody else, your friends see you and go, you're no different than the world. Why should I follow your Christ? You're just the same. That's what I worry about. That's what I have deep, deep, deep concerns for you about. I care and love you a lot. That's why pastors, tirelessly, for the past 3 years, you thought ministry was hard. Wait until you got hit. The pandemic hits you within the past 3 years. There's been more pastors that resigned, burnout, went into depression, more than ever. Ministry is so tough. Internally, pressure from people, more ever than not. Pastor Norman, majority of your pastoral staff is going through a really tough time. Why? Because they're preaching the word of God that nobody wants to hear. You know that? I'm scared. I'm scared one day when I stand up here, it's going to be constituted as illegal because our world doesn't like it anymore. They don't want to hear stuff like this. They don't want you to hear and stand up for the word of God. They want you to blend in. That's the whole point. So church, whether you're online or in person with us today, please, please think through this. And if you really need to talk, please don't bother Pastor Norman. You can come talk to me. I don't mind. I can send out my email. You can pop me an email. Even though time is really tight right now, pretty much get up at 4 a.m. and then sleep by 9 throughout the whole day, study, work, be with my little girl, and then go back home, study, eat, sleep, and then repeat that pattern at least for the next year a bit. But my love for Jesus has never been better. You know why? Because every day when I get up at 4, as tired as I am, first thing that I do, I open my Bible on my phone, and I go, God, speak to me today. How can I carry my cross? How can I love you more than any of these things, including my wife and my little toddler? Because my calling is not ultimately to them. My calling is to you. So God, if you need to lead me, guide us where we need to go. Yeah, we don't have enough money, but whatever, you'll provide. I don't worry about those things. I worry whether I'm loving you more than all of these things. And if I am, please tell me. Tell me very vividly. Smack me in the face. Because I don't want to one day get to you, see you face to face, and hear those words where Jesus declared, I never knew you. Let's pray. God, forgive us. For more often than not, we've molded you into this nice, middle-class, friendly-looking, kind, loving Jesus. And forget that following you actually demands a cost. We forget. More often than not, we think about how much you love us, but we totally forget about the price, the part that we're supposed to pay, which is to carry our cross every single day. God, I pray that today and the weeks and the months lingering down, that your church here is not going to hear my voice. My voice is not that amazing. But that they would hear you speaking to them, convicting them, guiding them. And then if there's shame in here, God, I'm going to speak that in Jesus' name, that freedom and liberation may be there, healing may come. God, that we would remember more than anything, we are your child, we're your heir, and what that means. God, help us to follow you in day and age like this, when it's so much easier to follow everything else that's not named Christ. God, empower us. In Christ's most powerful name we pray. Amen.